When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Alex Van Pelt yesterday on the offensive line and their performance against the Bears as the Patriots get ready for the Rams on Sunday, Wiggy. And you say it. Well, I guess some say it. Winnable football game every week. But this one is, I get it. They're coming off of the Monday night game, so maybe an advantage there. Is home field still an advantage?
I think home field is an advantage, especially a team like the Rams that they play indoors. So if there is some wind that you have to deal with, like in Chicago,
temperature wise,
the temperature. You know, those guys coming from Cali, they're gonna be like, "Ooh, it's cold out here." But this is a game. And we say that all the time. This is a game that the Patriots have the ability of winning. I think it's more about Van Pelt and him calling plays. I saw a couple things that I like. Play action and getting Drake May on the move a little bit, using his athleticism to get out of the pocket. Because the front, like Shime talked about it, for the Rams, they can get after you. So get them outside their pocket.
Also, that's a desperate team. Like they sort of need to win this football game because they lose it and they're out.
I also think that you need to take advantage of how tired they're going to be. They're coming off a Monday night loss. They have to fly across the country. I know I keep saying that, but coming to Boston from California with temperatures, playing outdoors, everything like that. I understand Matthew Stafford is talented, but he didn't have a great game against the Dolphins. And now you want to fly across country and take on a Pats team that seems like they're on the up. I think that the Pats have this one. I'm betting Pats this week.
You betting things does not sway me. It actually sends me in the opposite direction.
I mean, I've won two parlays so far this season, so that's more than I can say for others.
That's all right. Keep swinging the bat, Courtney. I don't know. We're at the point right now. We still just don't know what Patriots team is going to show up. That's where I would still be a little bit hesitant. I think they can win this football game, but if the Patriots team, that the defense can't stop anybody, shows up, then it could be a long day for them.
They also have a very hard, the Rams rested their schedule. They could be overlooking the Pats when it comes. They've got Eagles, Bills, Jets, Niners. Like, they still have a lot of games on the schedule that are going to be tough for them. So they might be looking at this Patriots as a get-right game, which they shouldn't because, I mean, they're 4-5.
But the Rams, I don't know if they look at it as a get-right game. They could be looking at it as, like, we're still in the mix of making the playoffs. When you look at the NFC,
one more win than the Pats, though.
No, but when you look at the NFC and how it's kind of shaken out, where you could kind of figure out, like, all right, this could be an opportunity for them to still be in the mix, still be in the hunt, if they can put some games together. So you're going to get the Rams' best shot. I just think, you know, Courtney, you could be on to something where you said, could the Patriots go 6-1 and, you know, have a chance to make the playoffs? If it's going to have to start, you know, this again this week with the Rams.
I know the narrative has changed a little bit, I think, in light of last week on Jerod Mayo. But does he need a back-to-back week-to-week win to really change that narrative, or it doesn't matter this season?
He's got 7 weeks to equal Bills' win total. So I think he'll be all right. I also think I'm very disappointed. I thought Cole Strange, this would have been a perfect revenge game. We all remember Les Snead and McVay laughing at the pick.
Oh, it's so funny.
But he's not going to play again. What a disaster of a draft pick.
And
holy
Greg,
God.
What do you mean Mayo has to, like he has to win this game? Or I feel like we're caught, like with Mayo, aren't we just like, it's really about the decisions that he makes on the field, in-game, as a coach?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, I think that there are some. I think it's a done deal. He's not going anywhere. But I think there are some that are not that impressed with Jerod Mayo this season. And so
Is it because of the lack of – but isn't it more the lack of talent, which would fall on Elliott Wolf's plate? Mayo's just getting the team that he's been handed down to him.
Well, there were certainly winnable football games that you can point to and say, I wish Gerard Mayo had gone for two in this game, and that we would have won that football
game. Yeah, that's the one game, Tennessee game.
There are some who look at where he is experience-wise and go, I'd rather that you go and get Mike Vrabel or go and get somebody who is an experienced head coach. I mean, you hear those. People call in
right,
with those arguments.
Right, but I don't. I think
people text in all day about
right,
Gerard
but
Mayo.
I think with those arguments, you have to look and go, okay, other than the Tennessee game where you go, okay, they probably could have went for two in this position, which they end up kicking the extra point and tying the game up, and it goes into overtime. I don't know where you could say the reason why you lost this game is because of Mayo's inexperience as a head coach, where I think it's more about when we've talked about this team, the reason why this team hasn't been good. A, you dropped the ball on Drake May and didn't start him from week one. B, you don't have the talent, whether it's the O-line, skill players. And I think those are more of an Elliott Wolf issue than a Gerard Mayo issue.
This team has, I don't know the numbers, but they have to be one of the most penalized teams in the NFL.
Wrong. No, they're not in the top 10.
No,
they're not.
I'm at it right now. They've committed 64 penalties.
They're like middle of the pack.
Through the first 4 or 6 weeks, though, I bet
they were really good.
Yeah.
They were really good. They were like in the top five when it comes to least amount of penalties a game. The past couple of weeks, they've had some issues, but they're probably like 12 or 13.
These teams all have more penalties. The Ravens, the Seahawks, the Jets, the Texans, the Panthers, the Browns, the Titans, the Broncos, the Cowboys, the Packers.
Yeah, they're not like a team that you go like, oh, they're a dumb team because of they make a lot of dumb penalties. He's done a good job with that. That's why I said with Mayo, people are just like, his lack of experience. All right, but that's every new head coach. What has he done on the field, X's and O's, between the white lines on Sunday that you could say you lost this game because of your head coach?
Yeah, probably not much.
All right.
It all
falls in Elliott Wolf, in my opinion. Because if we all believe Mayo wanted to start Drake May in week one, but he got, you know, they hit him with the kibosh on that one. That's an Elliott Wolf thing. We know that the personnel is an Elliott Wolf thing. And if you're telling me
putting weapons around
the old line, Mayo's like, listen, this is what I have to work with. So it's on him. It almost goes back to the Bill Parcells day is like, you want me to cook the dinner, at least you can let me shop for the groceries.
When it comes to wins that Mayo has, though, which one do you find really impressive? I mean,
none.
And you can't tell me week one.
No, I don't find any of the wins.
You can't tell me last Sunday because that Bears team is awful.
I mean, the Jets one was kind of impressive. Like, as soon
Based
as Drake May goes out of that
team,
game.
Where they are now, though, like, maybe it was impressive at the time.
I mean, they went and beat the Texans the next week.
You thought they were going to be something. Yeah.
But the Jets, that is an example where in the past we would credit the coach. They played one time, they got embarrassed. They played him again and they got revenge. You know, you think about that Thursday night disaster at MetLife. A couple weeks later, they go and beat them after getting blown out about a month earlier.
And they beat them in a game that they lose their starting quarterback. Drake May goes down with the concussion. Jacoby Brissett comes in and they still win.
Yeah, but Greg's right. They stink, and everybody thought they stunk before that. So it's not one of those wins.
Actually, only one person thought they would stink.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were on them from day one. I'll give you that. But as the season
progressed. Ken loved them.
Yeah, as the season progressed, Curtis.
Just go against everything Ken says, and you'll be successful.
As the season progressed, Curtis, I think more and more people started to jump on your train. So I'm with you, Greg. I don't think they have an impressive win.
They have been underdogs in all 10.
Right.
They've won 3.
Right.
Nothing is going to be put up in the Sistine Chapel. There's nothing pretty about this team.
No, would be an impressive win.
What if the Rams lose the week after and then they go to 4-7? People will be saying, "Well, look at them. They're not that good."
The only impressive potential wins that they could have is when I think it's week 15 when they go to Arizona. Or the following week at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, if they're able to beat one of those teams, then you go, that's an impressive win because these teams are good. Because the rest of the teams that they're going to be playing, They all pretty much have...
The Chargers are good.
But wait one second. So do we believe this team has overachieved at three wins at this stage?
Yeah.
We all took the under. I mean, everybody around here.
No, because you added an extraordinary talent at quarterback.
Added that in the offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we picked the over or under when we knew Drake May was on the team. So they've overachieved.
So what do you mean? Overachieved or underachieved?
Did you expect the Patriots to have three wins at this point in the season?
I bet the under. So yeah. I expected them to be under 4.5 wins on the season.
Yeah, and I think
them being at three wins at this stage is an overachievement.
Right. I'm asking you if you give most of the credit to that to Jerod Mayo or to Drake May.
I give credit to an organization that addressed a need.
In this case, you do.
Yeah. See, I don't think...
Bill Belichick, what do you mean? I mean, they...
I know what you're getting at, which is that you're talking about Mayo has outperformed Bill Belichick.
I'm saying that the organization has overachieved at this point of the season.
No.
I would give the credit to Drake May for that.
You would say no?
No, because we talked about it at the beginning of the season. There were people that thought, okay, they would get over... the four wins, and there were people that thought they'd be on but people are like, oh, they can win the second game against Seattle. People are like,
they could have won that one.
Right. I'm just talking about, so when he asks, is this an overachievement? I don't think it is, because people are like, oh, they could beat the Jets. So you have three wins, and if anything, I would say you're underachieving in my book, because if you would have put Drake May in week one, now you'd be sitting here with maybe five wins, and you could look at this
team. I think it's recency bias, though.
What's that?
Like, I think if you had asked at the beginning of the season how many wins would this team have, you're looking at four. What was your final guess going into the season?
Mine was they get over four wins if they start Drake May week one. If they don't, they're under four wins.
Okay, so they didn't start Drake May week one, and they have three already.
So what does that mean?
And you also can't credit the quarterback for being here when he's only won one game. The two games they won, one was started by Brissett and the other was ended by him.
No, I understand that point, but I think this team would have been in a lot better position if Drake May was from day one.
We know that. Yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah. All right, well, it's a Patriots Friday. You can talk about this and other things all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Here is Courtney with What is Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins get pummeled in Dallas. 7-2 was the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 31 saves on the night. Former Bruin Tyler Seguin became the first member of the 2010 NHL draft class to hit the 800-point mark, getting 2 points against his former team last night. Brandon Carlo hit the boards from what most are calling a dirty hit by Jamie Benn. Carlo was shaken up. He headed to the dressing room before coming back to the ice. Jim Montgomery spoke about that after the loss.
Yeah, he's a tough competitor. You know, one thing about Brando is he wears his heart out there on the ice, and he's a Bruin.
The Bees are off tonight for welcoming the Blues to the Garden tomorrow. It's a doubleheader at the Garden. That Bruins game is at 1, and then a quick turnover before the Seas have the Raptors at 8. The Eagles are 8-2 on the season now after they beat the Commanders in Thursday Night Football 26-18. It's a Patriots Friday. We talked with Jelani Tavai already this morning. If you missed that, listen to it on the Odyssey app. But it'll be a Patriots Friday all day long, so listen to EEI. As you get through your final workday of the week. 1 p.m. kickoff at Gillette against the Rams on Sunday. And tonight, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul will fight on Netflix. It starts at 8 p.m. And head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a three-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow-roasted prime rib, two sides, and a free three-course meal upgrade. It's available Friday and Saturdays after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the nines.
Greg, I was going to give you credit, too, I was going to do it for my lead, but you said something yesterday that you might be spot on. It's been ablaze all over social media and all over the world of sports talkers.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, are we going to get to that? Is this a tease?
And if we can get to it, you want.
Do I get any kind of a food item as a reward? Or
Curtis brought in bagels today, so maybe we'll get you a little bagel.
Michelle Friday. All right, we will get to that in the rest of the show coming up. Coming up momentarily, Nick Kostos, an Odyssey sports wagering insider, with some tips on how you should bet this weekend. And then Jones and Keefe coming up at 10.
Can I give you your flowers, your roses,
your
credit? Because you were spot on, and you said it before anybody, and now it's been everywhere. You said yesterday about the Shedeur Sanders and him being a package deal with Deion. You are spot on.
Is everybody talking about it?
Everybody
now?
Is talking about that Deion is using this for leverage in the sense of, okay, you want my son? Guess what?
You gotta take me as your head coach.
I'm coming with them.
So what's that? Who does that benefit more?
Shedeur
or Deion?
Both of them. Because here's the thing, right? Shedeur has had a ton of success under his dad, right? So his dad knows kind of what to do with him. You look at the teams that potentially could be in the top five, they're all going to be looking for a new quarterback and a new coach. We've seen Shedeur at the Las Vegas Aces game talking to Mark Davis, and they potentially could be number one, and how they're really, like, you know, kind of putting the full court press on them. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the market for a new head coach. And the other thing Deion potentially could do, look what he's done with the Colorado program. He's changed it around. But
he's certainly this season, you can't deny that he's is
and
he
this
ready?
Is his second year.
Is he ready for the NFL, though?
Here's what I think he's ready in the sense, similar to a Dan Campbell type of coaching style, where Deion is, you know, very outspoken. I think that, you know, obviously he'll be a first year head coach like anybody else. But, if it works for Dan Campbell and you've seen it's working for D'Amico Ryans, like former players, I'm telling you, you are spot on, because I think that you're going to see Deion land where Shedeur lands. And I wouldn't put Vegas Brady.
Yeah.
What better way for Mark Davis, Tom Brady, Deion?
That's a great point, Wiggy. Remember all the times last year, I think it was, where Deion was on the podcast with Tom, and then they were talking. He was like, Deion was like, Tom, tell these kids what you were like, and because I think his son had gotten like a Rolls Royce or a really nice car, and basically Deion, in a very public way, which is Deion's, you know, thing, but he's raised great kids, was trying to get Tom to instill some humility and understand that how hard you have to work. So they already have a relationship.
Right.
That kid, if he chooses to go to Michigan, is going to get more NIL money than Shedeur Sanders probably gets.
Probably. Yeah, probably. I mean, because it seems like he's a, you know, when Shedeur was coming out, he was a very high-rated recruit, but this kid is, like, top of the list. And the other thing, Shedeur always talks to Tom.
Right.
About how, like, Tom has told him stuff about, like, because Shedeur's had a bunch of, like, last-minute comebacks, and he goes, he's always calling it the Tom Brady plan, because he talks to Tom all the time.
Yeah, so. Wiggy, I really think you can't shut the Shedeur on this.
Right. No, I'm going to keep the Shedeur wide open.
All right, with us now, the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Check out all of the latest lines right now on the BetMGM app, and make sure you're listening to You Better You Bet. For more analysis, just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcast. Good morning, Nick.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today? Happy Friday.
How are you? Happy Friday as well.
I'm doing great. I have more beef with the Parlay Playboy.
Damn.
Okay.
So, because Jermaine Wiggins, unfortunately, has devolved into, like, he's basically like a Twitter troll that I know in real life.
Yeah.
So I get it says, oh, you these people on Twitter, oh, like a great, great pick. I get an Instagram DM. It's not even like, do we follow each other on Twitter? Like, you can have my cell phone. We don't have to DM me on Instagram.
I do Instagram. I'm more Instagram.
Okay, that's okay.
He doesn't like to text us either.
Yeah. That's fine.
He was blaming you for last
No,
week.
I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
You were on Monday. You were blaming him on Monday.
So I get a DM from, like the body is not even cold yet for the Giants against the Panthers in Germany. I get a DM. I don't even, it was something, it was like Twitter, like ChatGPT, like write a troll tweet about a losing bet. It was like great call with the Giants, dude. Something like that.
It was I all in caps. I effing hate the Giants.
I do that.
That was, I jumped on Nick's thing.
Me too.
I picked the Giants.
And I gave you the Patriots, man. You were gonna lose anyway. I took the Bears. I took the pass.
And you were spot on last week when I didn't want to bet the Broncos Chiefs game, and you said, okay, if you want to bet the Broncos, don't do the money line. Take the points. And you were right with that.
Well, actually, I think you may have been right with that because they should have won the game. I got the good result, but that was a really good call by you, honestly.
Thank you.
I hate the Giants. I would love to see Dion and Shador in New York next year.
No, we're not. We don't. No, that's, I mean, our ownership's way too dumb to do something like that, unfortunately. So, like, I don't know, parlay playboy.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What is Hugh Hefner still alive and kicking?
No, Hugh's gone.
I think the parlay playboy might be dead too.
No, we still got life.
How can you be a playboy if you've yet to win a single parlay? That's my question for the playboy. I mean, at least the princess has won a couple.
I won two.
Yeah, Wiggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, Wiggy's taught me everything I know.
Giving advice, Nick. Listen, it was a DM to you, and it wasn't like publicly, so it was more of like.
Which almost made it worse, because I could at least gotten some clout if you had done it publicly. This was more just like a needle to me while I'm sitting on my couch.
It's your Giants against Carolina.
Yeah, we
suck,
man. Yeah, we suck, dude. Oh, I don't know what you want me to tell you. We're horrible.
Nick, what are you doing when it comes to Pats-Rams and that number being 5?
Oh, man, a couple of Super Bowl rematches here. Patriots going to cheat in this one or no against the Rams? So Rams are 4.5-point road favorites. I kind of think the point spread's right. There are conflicting opinions on this game. I've talked to some people that I really respect who think Matthew Stafford might nuke this Patriots defense. And look, last week, the Bears are terrible, obviously, and the Patriots had 9 sacks. How much of that had to do with how bad the Bears are? Like, was that more Patriots good, or was it more Bears bad, or, like, what was the combination of those two things? The way that I will choose to play this game, though, and it's not one of my favorite bets, I think kind of same thing, guys, as last week. Like, let's lean into uncertainty here. I actually think Matthew Stafford's been bad the last couple. He was not good on Monday night against the Dolphins. I love me some Drake May. I love the Drake. Mm-hmm. I think the Patriots might win the game.
Same.
So if I was going to bet this game, and to be clear, I'm not, but if there were, Wiggy, like a hypothetical,
right,
you know, like 13-team money line parlay, let's juice that. Can I say the word in SOB or no?
Shime, you're the expert on that.
I think you can, yes.
Okay. I'll do the Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's juice that sumbitch up and let's put the Patriots in it.
All right.
What about Ravens Steelers?
I love the Ravens.
Oof.
Love Baltimore.
I don't.
Well, ooh. I can be wrong. I loved the Eagles last night and the corollary between the two. And the Eagles point spread moved to 4.5. Cheap plug for my show. On Monday, we talk about the stuff all week. I said on Monday, Eagles -3, it closes 4.5. So we got some closing line value, the bet won. Similar here, my guess is, I can be wrong, but I think I'm probably right. I think this will close a little above 3. I think this may close Baltimore 3.5. It's close to being there right now. I think the Ravens are a good amount better than Pittsburgh. I'm not a Steelers hater. Mm-hmm. I bet them last week against the Commanders. So I had this. That was part of our money line parlay last week, was Steelers. This week, I don't think the Steelers can stop Lamar and the Ravens offense. I think Russell Wilson comes back down to earth. Give me the Ravens laying the 3. And in a hypothetical money line parlay, let's put the Ravens in it.
All right. I got the Ravens. I can ask him 2 parlays to close me out for my 13-legger.
What if Greg said no?
I mean, then I would not ask him. Kansas City at Buffalo. And then I took Buffalo, and then Cincinnati.
Why?
Hold on. You could change my mind, and then Cincinnati.
No, but I want to know why you think it's a good idea to bet against Patrick Mahomes.
Because I love the way Josh Allen is playing this year. I think he's going to be I think he's the MVP. I love what he's doing. I think that, you know, that Buffalo team, just for some reason, he's got them on his back. So that's why I'm leaning towards him. The offense is struggling a little bit, KC. They're going to be on the road. Hostile environment.
No Taylor.
That's why. And then I got
Cincinnati. Gotta go in January.
And then I got Cincinnati going to the Chargers, and I took Cincinnati.
Okay, so, all right. I'll change your mind in one of them.
Okay.
But, okay, so this becomes a little more difficult. So, regardless of what anyone thinks about Harrison Butker and his politics, whatever, mm-hmm. this is, like, irregardless of all of that, the fact is that Harrison Butker is one of the best kickers in the history of the NFL,
right,
and is one of the most clutch kickers in the history of the NFL. So if people did not see this yesterday, Harrison Butker is on injured reserve. He's going to miss the next 4 games.
Right.
The Chiefs signed a kicker off the Jets practice squad.
Right.
Think about, like, Greg Zuerlein missing those kicks a couple weeks ago in the Jets-Patriots game. This is a guy that couldn't beat out Greg Zuerlein at the time to be the Jets kicker. Spencer Schrader, this is curtain jerking jabroni, Spencer Schrader, will be kicking for the Chiefs. So, like, if it's Harrison Butker and you need Butker to make a game-winning kick, like, you feel like he's going to make it. He's done it his whole career.
Right.
I don't know if I have the same confidence in Spencer Schrader. Now, There is no quarterback in the history of the NFL, in the history of the league, who has performed better as an underdog and winning games outright than the great Patrick Mahomes. So I don't know how you can go against that, regardless of who the kicker is. I used irregardless and regardless. One of those is certainly incorrect. Chiefs money line. So let's take the Chiefs.
Okay.
I do, Wiggy. I make my point spreads in the NFL. I make the Bengals a small favorite in the game. So right. My point spread is Bengals minus one. The fear is that the Chargers coaching staff is 50 times better than the Bengals coaching staff. But with that said, I'll trust kind of my initial opinion on the game. So let's leave the Bengals in.
Yeah.
And let's switch the pick to the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. Now, the Bengals, even though T. Higgins won't be there,
he did practice yesterday in a limited fashion, so okay. He may be on track to play in this
okay.
game.
Okay. So switch.
I've never hated this more.
So, I've got to tell you something, Costos. That stat on Mahomes is awesome. 11-3 straight up as an underdog, including the playoffs, as a starter. I think this is a game, while you're right, the kicker hurt, that being hurt hurts them. But this is an MVP game for Mahomes where it's 4th-and-3 at the 35. He's making those first downs. There's nobody better at 4th-and-5 and under, maybe Lamar Jackson. But Patrick Mahomes, I think, gets the MVP on Sunday.
All right, I made the switch.
And that stat, Curtis, is even more sad. I don't have it in front of me. When you look at like the people behind him and how much better he is, it's not just that he's first. It's that he's first with a bullet in that category.
Yeah, Brady, who I don't know if this is playoffs, is 37-26, which is the winning percentage is awful compared to Mahomes on that one.
All right, I made this switch for you.
Curtis, do you have a lock this week?
I don't know. I'm hesitant to jump back in the pool, but I do hate Notre Dame. And I do think Virginia's not awful, getting 23.5 points at South Bend on Sunday or Saturday.
I like Notre Dame a little bit. Sandwich spot for Virginia. I had Virginia last week against Pitt. Really tough schedule coming up for Virginia. Notre Dame is gearing up for a big game next week against Army, so this is not like I'm not going to bet this game. If I had to bet the game, I would go against you, Curtis, and I would lay Notre Dame.
I hear you, but it's never a look. I mean, everybody looks towards South Bend. It's not like people in Virginia are going to be like, oh, don't need to prepare for Notre Dame.
Are you betting the game?
Physically?
Yeah. Are you actually going to bet it?
No.
I like how you're like arguing with me about this. Like you're not even going
to
bet it.
Well, but it's an asinine thing to say that you're going to look past Notre Dame. I mean, that's like the game you.
It's
circle.
Not. It's not look past Notre Dame. It's the idea that you've got this gauntlet schedule coming up here, and college kids may not be as focused.
Well, they're in Virginia. They're smart.
Will you wager on the fight this evening?
Yeah. Oh, what an insulting question. Duh. Of course. I'll have a couple bets. Number one, I'll take Jake Paul to win.
All right.
Just in case people don't know this, so Mike Tyson's 58, Jake Paul's 27. Yeah. So they have leveled the playing field a little bit since one guy's 30 years older than the other. So the rounds, it's true, 27, close enough. The rounds, actually, no, 31. He's 31, 58 to 27. My math is bad. The rounds are 2 minutes long tonight.
Yep.
So Tyson can be a little fresher, and the gloves are not as heavy. So that benefits Tyson a little bit. But we have not seen Mike Tyson in a sanctioned boxing match in 19 years. And people will say, oh, well, 4 years ago in that exhibition against Roy Jones Jr., he looked good. Like, does anyone remember what was happening four years ago? Like, how long ago that was? Mm-hmm. Like, come on.
And Mike
please.
Said he was pulling his punches in that fight, too.
Yeah.
And that's possible. And look, like, I think Jake Paul might pull his punches tonight because there's a lot of money to be made in a potential rematch. So I'm going to bet this fight. I'll have a couple bets. I'm not sure. This is not like the money-making opportunity that Mayweather McGregor was when it was greatest boxer ever versus guy who has never boxed before, and guy who has never boxed before was getting bet by everybody. Like Mayweather, that's the greatest betting opportunity of our lifetime was Mayweather in that fight. This is not that, but I do like Jake Paul to win the fight, and I don't think Paul knocks him out because there's no money in that. I think the fight will go to decision. I think Jake Paul wins the decision. I like Jake Paul coming up tonight.
So you can get Jake Paul on decision at 3-1 right now?
Yeah,
is
like
that
it.
Right?
I think plus 280 yesterday, maybe it's been bet up a little bit. Wow. And also UFC 309 tomorrow night. Stipe Miocic in the main event is a huge underdog against John Bones Jones. We had Ariel Helwani on our show yesterday. He said that he thinks this is close to a 50-50 proposition. I'll bet Stipe Miocic at huge odds tomorrow night to beat John Jones.
Wow. Nick, you are the best. Thank you as always.
Do we feel good about the money line parlay for this week?
I got the Colts. No stop.
Ready? Here it is. Packers, Lions.
Yep, I got those.
Vikings.
Yep.
Dolphins.
Yep.
Patriots.
Yep.
Browns.
Oh, okay.
Colts, Ravens.
Nope.
Broncos.
Yep.
Niners.
Yep.
Chiefs, Bengals.
All right.
Let's get rich.
All right. That is the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. And are you wishing anything for us before you go?
Yes, I am wishing for Jermaine Wiggins to not DM me if the bet loses on Sunday. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck.
All right. Jones and Keith coming up at 10. We'll be right back. Show flew by this morning. I can't believe it. Jones and Keith coming up momentarily on a Patriots Friday. And then we're back on Monday and at Gillette Stadium, as we always are. With Gerard Mayo and with Boomer Esiason. So
it's a big weekend for the Parlay Playboy and the Parlay Princess. Yep. Big weekend.
And we are on opposite sides of some
you
of these
are?
Bets.
Yeah. All right, well, that should mean that one of you would win.
Yeah, I went with the Kostos. So if this Kansas City bet doesn't come through, because the rest of them I kind of agree with him on. But the Kansas City one, I flipped it because I do like Buffalo. So, but I'm going to.
But Curtis is right. That Mahomes stat is incredible.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ride with that one.
It's also staggering that this is his eighth season, seventh season, and he's only been an underdog 14 times.
14 times.
Yeah.
It really is.
By the way, I have an NFL lock too.
Oh. Okay.
Two locks. Virginia -23.5 +23.5 at Notre Dame, and the Dan Campbell kneecappers, 14-point favorites to cover against the Jags.
Yeah, against Mac Jones, you're damn right. I'm taking that.
It is Mac Jones. Yeah. One more redemption tour for Mac Jones. This is the week.
Yeah, last week went real well.
this is the week.
The Lions have an even better defense than the Vikings. Get ready to be eaten alive.
All right. Well, it should be a great day for football Sunday at Gillette, too. So. Yeah.
What's the wind forecast, Curtis?
Going to be south of southwest, about 8 miles an hour. And bad news for the weather take, Courtney. Please stay in your lane. It's 52 degrees in L.A. right now. It's going to be 57 in Foxborough on Sunday.
So not much of a difference there. And Drake May is...
No smog.
Yeah. Drake May is going to be running for his life. What do they have, 5 sacks last week, that defense? This week, Monday, I guess.
The Rams?
Yeah
they had
a
bunch
of 4 against Tua, yeah.
But you know what? I tell you, that's why I say put him on the move early. Get him out of the pocket. Make the Rams have to think about that.
Is Stafford a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Yeah, he is.
100%.
Yeah, because...
Is that just because you're a dog?
No, because the Hall of Fame is watered down.
That's true.
So Stafford's a Hall of Fame.
Kurt Warner is.
I think as soon as he got that Super Bowl, he was in. Because with all the 5,000-yard passing seasons and...
Okay, Matt Ryan is not. We agree.
Correct. No
but
Super
he'll
Bowl.
He'll probably get in, though.
That's crazy.
Because Phillip Rivers is going to get in. Eli Manning's going to get
I
in.
I hate a Hall of Fame that has Phillip Rivers in it.
It's watered down, but that's what the Hall of Fame's on
I'm
now.
With you, Curtis.
Nowadays.
Hall of Fame dad, I'll tell you that. He's got 12 kids.
Yes, he does. And they will all be there, I'm sure, till the bitter end, Curtis. If you have 12 kids, at least one of them will take care of you.
That's right.
Well, one of his kids is a pretty good quarterback, so he might be going the Deion Shador route. So he coaches them, so he's one of his kids, I think, is like a 3 or 4, maybe even like a 4 or 5-star recruit or something like that.
All right. Well, hope everybody has a great weekend. Any 3-hour dinners this weekend, Courtney?
I have one tonight, one tomorrow.
And she says it with pride too. I don't mind. Sitting
I'm sorry that you don't have
hours.
You don't have people that you want to catch up with for that long.
Don't you have other people's courtesy? Don't you have courtesy for other people?
Wiggy, you park in handicap spots.
Well, that's because
what are we talking about?
That's because.
That's the end of the show, right?
I was willed from my dying mother for a handicap spot.
And may she rest in peace, but at the same time, courtesy.
But that's no longer. That thing expired a long time ago.
Okay.
So I didn't really get much juice out of it.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it wasn't much juice out of it.
All right, Jones and Keith are next.
And if there were a lot of open handicap spots, I only popped it. Okay. If there weren't many, then I made it to the back.
Oh, you don't take the last one?
No.
Doesn't make it better.
What a gentleman.
You're so late getting into the break, but I'm here for it.
I get bad back and bad knees.
You have a bad back and
I bet if I went to the doctors, I could probably get one of them.
Oh.
Probably could.
But I choose not to.
Okay.
I was only my mother's dying wish.
That's good.
All right. Have a great weekend. We are back on Monday. Thank you for your patronage.